Talking about trusting and trusting Him, totally trusting Him. You know, every time you think you come out of something, something else comes up, right? Okay. Or there's these two hunters, okay, named Denny and Gary, we'll just say. Okay, well, they come across a bear that is so big that they drop their rifles, and they ran for cover. Now, Denny, he climbs a tree, while the other hid in a nearby cave. The bear was in no hurry to eat, so he sat down between the tree and the cave to reflect upon his good fortune. Suddenly, and for no apparent reason, the hunter in the cave came running out. Oh, and he almost ran into that bear waiting there. He hesitated, and then he dashed back in again. The same thing happened a second time. And when he emerged for the third time, his friend up there in the tree, Denny, he yells down, "What are you doing, Gary?" He's, "Are you crazy?" Gary, panting, can't hardly catch his breath. He yells up, "I can't. There's a bear in the cave." Do you ever feel like that, hunter, though, in the cave? Like every time that you turn around, there's another problem waiting for you? You know, like no matter what you do, you just can't escape from your problems. Oftentimes, our rushing around trying to deal with our problems by ourselves, we only make them worse. Now, look to Psalms, Psalm 55. Verse 22, Psalm 55. It says a contemplation of David. A contemplation of David. That's the action of looking very thoughtfully at something for a long time. David did a lot of contemplating as you read the Psalms. But anyhow, you're there in Psalm 55, verse 22. So here's what I've learned through it all. Leave all your cares and anxieties at the feet of the Lord, and measureless grace will strengthen you. Measureless grace. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, may the God of all grace, that measureless grace we're talking about here, who calls us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Perfect here. You know, I was going to try to pronounce them, but I'm not. In the Greek, it means to mend, to put back in place like a doctor resetting a broken bone. See, God will mend our broken lives and make us whole. Establish, in the Greek, means to make stable, place firmly. See, God will make our way stable, despite the instability we feel living in this world that throws so much and so many things against us. It's like being in dodgeball. You know, keep having a move. So He will establish. Strengthen. And that means to make strong. God will give us the ability to succeed in all that we do as we put Him first. Put Him first. And then we got settle. He will settle you, meaning to lay the foundation. God will build us a firm foundation that will make us steadfast and immovable. Immovable. So that when the storms come, you ain't going to be moved. Immovable. And you'll be able to withstand them, and you'll have the victory over the storm. God's grace will perfect, it will establish, it will strengthen, and it will settle you. Leave all your cares and anxieties at the feet of the Lord, and you will find peace. And that's through trusting in Him. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. He will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in Him. You want peace? Whose thoughts turn often to the Lord. Trust in the Lord always, for in the Lord Jehovah is your everlasting strength. Everlasting strength. He is the rock of ages. That's what that means. Do you want peace? Keep your thoughts on and your complete trust in God. Supported by God's unchanging love for us and His mighty power, we will not be shaken by all of the chaos that is surrounding us. You will have perfect peace, trusting in the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. In Proverbs 16:20 of the GNT says, trust in the Lord and you will be happy. Yes. You want to be happy?
Yes.
Trust in the Lord and happy, happy, happy you will be. Makes it pretty easy, doesn't it? It makes it easy for somebody simple-minded as I am at times. I need it simple.
Yeah.
If I trust in Him, I'm going to be happy. That means I don't have to worry. I love that. Casting all my cares. Mercy Me's song, Happy Dance. And we've played it a few times. Says, it's okay to cut loose. Oh, it ain't about how you move, but about what moves you. We're so consumed with what we think we're supposed to be that we stop living like we know that we're free. For who the Son sets free is free indeed. Happy dance, folks. Happy dance. That's what you should be doing every day because you've been set free. Happy dance. Back to Jeremiah there. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Again, I got to stop. Have you made Him your confidence? Confidence is the belief that one can rely on someone with expectation of fulfillment. Firm trust. Expectation of fulfillment. A fulfillment of His promises in His Word for us. Elder, expectation. Holy Spirit connects a lot of things together. Those who trust in the Lord are blessed. You want to be blessed and happy? Trust in the Lord. Okay, verse 8. We never got to verse 8 yet. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green. And in Ezekiel, they say they'll bring healing to our nation. Okay? And they never stop producing fruit. To be bothered and worried means to be fearful, to be anxious, to be concerned, and to be afraid. In times of drought, it pays to be tapped into the life-giving, living water of Christ. The never-ending supply of water comes through the Word. We got to simply wear it up daily. It will quench your thirst. It will quench your thirst. It will bring substance to you also. You know, you can look to, and I just marked these, but Revelation 22, verse 1. You can read that one on your own. But I'm going to turn to John 7. I just want to point out, John 7. Okay, verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You'll be awful dry if you don't have any word in you. Because you've got to be around there watering. There's a lot of people who are thirsty and dry out there, and they need water. You can't be watered unless you're worded up. And for another interesting one, go to Ezekiel, mark this down, Ezekiel, and chapter 47. You know, read chapter 47. Wow. Is there a lot about the water? And Bob can testify to that because it wraps up in with Revelations, what he studied out. You will not be fearful, anxious, concerned, or afraid when you trust in the Lord. Totally trusting in the Lord. Not just a little bit. Trust in Him completely. He can handle it. When you trust in the Lord, you will have abundant strength. And not only for your own needs, but even for you to share for the needs of others. You will be able to witness boldly. Yeah, you'll be able to witness boldly. You'll be able to lift a brother or sister up when they're down. And you know what? You'll be able to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. In Psalm 9, verse 10, Psalm 9, verse 10, those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. You know what his name is? His name is I Am. I am Jehovah. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am Jehovah Nissi. I am Jehovah Tisit Kanu. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Shalom. Come on. He is the great I Am. And I Am is all you will need. Because He encompasses everything that we need. Physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, come on. Got it all covered. He is the great I Am. And as you seek Him and continually put your trust in Him, you can have the confidence that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. No matter what you've been facing, He's right there with you. The one who sticks closer than a brother. You can trust in Jesus, and that trust becomes stronger when you understand the grace that He gave to us when He came into this world as a baby that changed everything. His grace, you can surely trust in because it's there for you. And it's free. Free. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, free gift. Romans chapter 2, verse 24, being justified freely by His grace. Justified freely by His grace. through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified means to be declared or made righteous in the sight of God. Justified freely by grace. The unmerited favor of God towards us. Romans 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion, power, control, authority over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. What Jesus said to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he is saying to us, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. It says my strength, his dunamis power, inherent power, the power residing in God, the all-powerful one who exerts and puts forth his power through creation, for he is our creator. He is the creator of the universe. Lorraine just pointed out something the other day. She says, look at this. This was not made without God. This button was designed without God's help. Man did it. But God gave him the knowledge, the understanding, and the wisdom to do it. She reflected on that. We were standing. Just look at, well, look around you. Everything you see, it's part of God's creation. Every part of it. Look at the person sitting next to you or behind you, Tim. God created him in his image, in God's image. We got to realize that. We're his creation, skillfully created. Each one of us have a purpose and a plan in our lives, what we're supposed to do for him. And as we do what he wants us to do, everything else that we desire, we will get. And we'll be happy, happy, happy. And we'll be doing happy dances all the time. His dunamis power will work for us through his grace, his unmerited favor. Our weakness will help develop our Christian character and also deepens our, here you go, Tim, worship. Because in admitting our weaknesses, we affirm God's strength, his dunamis power. See, the devil doesn't want us to think about it. I'm talking about grace. Doesn't want us to realize it or even remember it. Because there is so much power in its constant availability to us as King's kids. What are we? We're King's kids. Your royalty. Don't cut away from the royal throne. It may not be as easy as you think out there. Hey, you hearing that over there, somebody? All right. His grace, his unmerited favor for us is inexhaustible because of his love for us. He is our Abba Father. He is Daddy. And he wants us to know him as Daddy. He wants us to have a loving father relationship with him at all times. Do you ever long for those moments, though, of childhood again? Do you ever desire to return to the innocence and simplicity, a time of no concerns about the future and no regrets about the past? Just running down to the pump house to play basketball with your friends. Oh, I don't even want to practice my trumpet anymore. I just want to go play basketball. You know? Do you ever think about a time when you were a child and you wish it could be like that again? Come on. Well, nearly all of us long for that feeling to be a child again. We want to experience again the innocence and simplicity of that long, long, long ago, you know, period, okay? You know, I had to realize, I thought, thinking about that, you know, I knew there was a point in time that I would start to get old. Okay. Anyhow, I can remember when I looked, I said, okay, 30. I made 30. I tell you, that one put me down. Yeah. Yeah. I turned 30, I thought that was it. I didn't even go home. I went to the lamppost and visited with a guy by the name of Yukon Jack.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that did me no good.
Yeah,
I was back in the BC days. Yeah. But my thing is, 30. Next thing I know, it was 40. And then it was 50. And it was 60. And then you're like, wait a minute. I didn't think those milestones would be hit so quickly. It does. It seems like a blink. I'll be honest with you. So I go, wow. But I never thought I'd get here. But it's the way we're designed. God designed the body, and it's going to age. Well, anyhow, there's a time when there was always a need for us to just simply do nothing. All we cared about was once I got done with my assignment, whatever it was that mom or dad had done, and the rest of the day was mine. Laying underneath the tree in the shade, hanging out with our friends, shooting bow and arrows, shooting them at the house, putting them through dad's new siding, And then really, not worrying about it because it was behind the hedges enough that couldn't see it, But he did find out, and then I did pay for it. Yeah. Physically and financially. Yeah. Okay. We all desire, though, to recapture that innocence and that simplicity of our childhood. But we never will, at least, not fully. So we can't go back. There is, however, at least a dimension of it, of that innocence and simplicity. And it's found in the kingdom of God. See, that's why Jesus told us that we must become like children. Like children. In Luke 18, verse 17, Jesus said, I assure you and most assuredly say to you, remember this is Jesus, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God with faith and humility like a child will not enter it at all. I didn't say it. Jesus did. Takes faith, childlike faith, and humility. The kingdom of God consists of those who respond to Him with the trust of a little child. A little child that gives to its parents, to his or her parents. Little children have the faith and trust needed, therefore, to enter God's kingdom. We must approach Him with childlike attitudes of acceptance, faith, and trust. Wrap it up, simply believing. As we mature, the ever-increasing responsibility of life tends to strip away our innocence and our simplicity. But increased reliance on, trusting in God brings us back. I like the way Jesus says it here in Matthew 11, 28-30. Are you tired? Worn out? Are you burned out on all this religion stuff? Well, come to me. Come on, get a relationship with me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest and have peace of mind. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Trust in the Lord, and you will not have to fear the future. You can keep going through 2020, because it's rapidly moving along, as our elder Denny said. It's the end of January. Amazing. All I can say is don't blink. When we fully trust God, we will be able to climb up on Daddy's lap and know that regardless of the situation, everything is... You hear this one? This is a good Italian comment. Okie dokie. That's my call. That's what I get back from Tim whenever I text him. Okie dokie. Yeah. That's an Italian speaking. Is that a which dialect is that, Flo? Which? Oh, you don't know? Okay. Because Mario's sitting there saying, "I ain't touching that one." And Diane's going, "Oh, mama, you know, maybe that's a is that a southern or northern dialect over there?" We don't know. Well, we will become less weary and less burdened down when we trust Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. This is, by the way, the Passion Translation. So think about it. Passion? Okay. But God will be faithful to you. God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity, nature, and timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. And each test is an opportunity to trust Him more. For along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. Victoriously. He doesn't just bring you out. He brings you out victoriously, making you want to do your happy dance. God's faithfulness and grace will limit the severity of every test and prevent us from being tested beyond our ability to cope. His unlimited, inexhaustible grace is available for every believer who faces hardship, temptation, and seasons of difficulty. Daddy. See, a fatherly relationship with the Lord recaptures a dimension of that long-ago innocence and simplicity of our childhood. Now, see, I'm well aware that there are people who have had less than a desirable childhood. Perhaps there was a father who had no time to be daddy. Or maybe he was physically or verbally abusive. Listen to Bert. I can only imagine. But mercy me. Perhaps there was no father present at all. All these unfortunate situations can implant a misunderstanding of our Heavenly Father. However, the truth is that none of us had a perfect childhood. All of our earthly fathers were flawed. Each of us, though, has some mental picture of an ideal father. The ideal father, and much, much more, is what God wants and desires to be to us. The relationship that the Lord, our Abba Father, our daddy, wants us to have with Him is the innocent, unreasoning trust of a child, as well as the intellectual comprehension toward a loving parent who always wants what is best for his child. Don't you want the best for your children? Yes, you do. I know you all do. Relationship with our Heavenly Father is what we need, a deep and intimate one. See, the devil knows that better than anyone. And that's why he's been fighting against it for over 2,000 years. He doesn't want you to develop an intimate, close relationship with your daddy. And you do that through wording up. So what's he try to do? He steals. What's he stealing? He's stealing your word. He steals the word. There was a couple that was in here, a couple services back, and came to me and talked to me. And every question that they came and talked to me about was answered that night in the word. But they never heard it because they came in here under condemnation. They never heard a word. But every scripture they needed to have, I gave it to them. I said, no, here's the message. Go listen to it. They were here and they didn't hear it. Satan wanted to steal the word. He comes. The thief cometh but not to steal. He wants to steal the word from you. And if he can steal the word, he steals your joy. He steals your strength. That is why we must word up. We must be in his word. And what to say? We are to lean on, trust in, and be confident with the Lord with our whole heart and mind. Proverbs 3:5, that's amplified. He's there to catch us when we fall, folks. You trip, skin your knee, he'll be there, he'll take care of it. And you know, it's not just for you, but it's for everybody. Everybody. And we're supposed to be the ones to let the other people know that. We're to be the ones to know and let them, so they can experience the miraculous grace, the life-changing message that he introduced to the world at the cross. At the cross. For it was at the cross. At the cross where we first saw the light and the burden of our hearts rolled away. It was there by faith we received our sight. And now we are happy all the day doing our happy dance. Happy, happy, happy. Trusting in the Lord. His grace is sufficient. What he did at the cross, he did for everyone. What cost him so deeply, what cost him his life, he has made bountifully available for free. For free. And we must share it with others. When you realize it, you must share it. It's a gift that needs regifted constantly. Now the accuser will tell you a different story. See, he's going to tell you that surely you can't feel like that. No. How can you? The way you act. The way you carry on. Some of the words you say. What comes out of your mouth. How you respond to others. Your attitude. Guess what? Doesn't matter to Jesus. He's looking at you, and he did it for you. And he'll continue to do whatever it needs to for you because of his great love for you. And there is no condemnation for us. Because that's what the devil tried to do, get us in condemnation all the time. If he can get you in condemnation, he can distract you from hearing what you need to hear from God. He makes you think you can't even spend the time at home because, oh, he's not going to hear you. You know what you did when you was driving the truck today and somebody cut you off? You know, those kind of things. Or, hey, I'm trying to park the bus over here. What are you doing? This is not a space for a car. And you get upset. Don't get upset. But the devil's going to use those kind of things against you to tell you, okay, you can't go to him. You can go to him. You're supposed to go to him with everything. Not just the problems, with everything. That's what it's about. Trusting Him. Trusting Him. He'll lead. He'll guide you. He'll direct your steps. If you're willing and obedient. We must be willing and obedient. Because in Romans 8, 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. No condemnation, because Jesus whooped the devil and whooped him good when he stormed the gates of hell. And he took the keys away from his domain forever. And there's no way for him to ever get them back. Thank you, Kyle. When it comes to Jesus' gift of grace, you see, it doesn't matter whether you feel like you're worthy to receive it. See, thank goodness it's not based on the way you feel. It's based on the simple fact He's already qualified you as worthy to partake and to receive and to inhabit His grace and His favor. The very moment you became born again, the very moment that you said, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. Grace through faith. In Hebrews 13, verse 9, says, it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. That's the NIV. New King James says, for it is good that the heart be established by grace. And once it is, it will truly revolutionize your life. Establish here in this verse means to make firm or stable. Immovable. Immovable. His grace is sufficient for you. God doesn't want us to be fearful and worried by everything that happens in life that will ever come against us in the world. Because we're not of the world. In John 15, 19, says, on Jesus speaking, you are not of the world. You no longer belong to it. I have chosen you and taken you out of the world to be mine. Selah. You belong to Him. You are a king's kid. And you must remember that greater is He that is living inside of you than he that is living in the world. He wants your heart to be at rest and established by grace towards you. When you make it about what you think you can do, what is what human nature wants to do, on a daily basis, sometimes almost on a moment-by-moment basis, it will be full of worries and anxieties because you are the one trying to prop it up. It's a false sense of security. Similar to a house of cards. Have you ever built a house of cards? And you sit there and stack them all up. Well, when you stack them all up and you get it complete, you go home and you do this. Now you take out your quarters and start putting them on a roof. See how much pressure it will take to destroy that. It's a false sense of security. Because when you build that house that weakly, it can be taken down. But if you build it according to the Word, you will have a strong foundation. Structurally sound you will be. When you depend on God's grace, that is, His undeserved, unmerited favor, the opposite happens. Your heart becomes established by it. For it is good that the heart be established by grace. When you know that the only thing that qualifies you to receive God's blessing is faith in His finished work, in His finished work, your heart becomes established by it. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." Thus, before He bowed His head. It's a free gift. But if you still have to do one thing, you have to accept it and you have to apply it into your lives. It's like having free electricity in your house and not knowing it. See, it doesn't do you any good until you realize it and turn on the light. Turn on the power to the light. His grace is sufficient when we trust in Him. God wants you to know and to realize on a continual basis and to get it down into your spirit, get it down into your inner man, we're talking about here, so that it becomes the very fabric of your soul. So that you know, that you know, that you know. Do you know what I'm saying? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Come on. Knowing that His righteousness, healing, protection, and prosperity, His unlimited everything and every promise He has ever made is yours, all paid for by Jesus' finished work at the cross. And it's sealed with a yes. And that's a yes with all caps, by the way. Thank you, Jesus. See, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. You know what's interesting here? The amen here is translated into Hebrew as, that's right. Is that cool? That's right. We say, that's right, because He's living on the inside of us. So when somebody comments, sees something to you, you don't have to say amen. You say, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. That's right. Come on. That's right. So when you say amen, you think about it. Oh, wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's right. Hey, them Hebrews knew what they were doing. Why'd we change it? You know, God's blessings are always available in your life because they are not dependent on your ability to do or to live right. If they were, you know what? None of us would ever be able to receive them. Try as we may, we live in a world and we make mistakes. Thank goodness, though, that they're based only on our ability to believe in His Son, Jesus, and that fact alone. Will there still be sin? Yeah, there will be sin. There will always be sin. See, there's only one who never sinned, and we all know His name. His name was Jesus. And because of His sinless life and His selfless act of love, when He died on the cross, He established once and for all that there would be no sin greater than God's grace. That grace was provided through Jesus' shed blood. The grace of Jesus' finished work covers us completely, and we have been forgiven. We've been forgiven. And if we blow it, we have 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's right! The grace of Jesus' finished work will allow you to focus more on Him and less on yourself. And that's what it's all really all about. Am I right? More of Him and less of us in our lives. Say this with me. Say, more of him and less of me.
More of him and less of me.
That's the way I want it to be. More of him and less of me. That's the way it has to be. More of him and less of me. The more you trust in him, the more he will increase in you, and the more your faith will grow and mature. Isaiah 55 verses 2 and 3. Why waste your money on something that is not real food? Why should you work for something that does not really satisfy you? Listen closely to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the food that satisfies your soul. Listen closely to what I say. Listen to me so that you will live. I will make an agreement with you that will last forever. It will be an agreement you can trust. Love, I will, like I had for David, a promise to love him and to be loyal to him forever. Made that same thing to us, a promise to love us and to be loyal to us. And when you fall short, 1 John 1:9, run to him. Don't run away from him. Run right back to him. He is faithful and just to forgive you. He's daddy.
Yes, he is.
Wants to hold you in his lap. When God says, listen closely to what I say, listen to me so that you will live, you will find what you are looking for. Guaranteed, he will not disappoint you. Trust him. God has so many good things in store for all of us in our lives when we continually put our trust in him, which causes our faith to grow. For he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, when you know the author, you can be sure he wants to be involved in every detail of the story, especially when it's being written about you, and you know that each chapter that he writes will be greater than the one before. So you can trust him. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose but self when you put your trust in him, because it's all about him. Amen. Let's honor Jesus.